needs masks? We don't even talk about masks or vaccines when we can talk about the Busy Beaver Button Company. That's right. Christian Carter, are you there?
I am here, John.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Tell me about the Busy Beaver Button Company. I'll try to say it as fast as I can. And I know you got a great...
Try to say it three times?
No.
So Busy Beaver, I actually started Busy Beaver 26 years ago. And as like kind of a punk rock DIY type, that's where we started. So it was
really?
Just kind of serving that community in the mid 90s. And then, gradually just kept growing, a lot of word of mouth and just, expanding interest. And that's the great thing about buttons is they're kind of, we're a hub for people up to things. So it almost doesn't matter, they could be bands, they could be, museums, nonprofits, businesses, anybody trying to like share a message and like build community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been fun. It's been really fun. Like I actually calculated roughly how many buttons we made in the last 26 years, and I think it's 53 million buttons. So
who made 53 million buttons?
In the last 26 years, we did.
The world has made 53 million buttons in the last 26 years?
Well, Busy Beaver has.
That's why it's busy. That's really busy. You made 26 million buttons?
We made 53 million buttons.
What?
So in the last 26 years.
Now, these aren't I want to make it clear to people, these are not like buttons that you button up your shirt or, a button collar or anything like that. These are like buttons with pins on them. I mean, these are like campaign buttons. As a matter of fact, some COVID places are giving you one of these, I got my shot button and with a pin on it, and you wear that. It's that kind of button, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Pin back button, like campaign button.
So
that's what I always say.
You said that you started out by targeting the punk rock community. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I wasn't expecting to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I was in a punk rock band myself.
You were? Wait. Time out. What was the name of the band?
Oh, I don't know if I want to admit it.
Why? Is it an obscenity?
It was kind of more of a novelty band, but it was called the Budget Girls. So.
All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was fun. We actually put out a few records, and our record label is in England. So I lived over there for a little while, too. And that's actually where I got the idea from the Button Company.
This is getting more interesting by the second. This isn't just about buttons. This is about punk rock and going to Britain and stuff. Yes.
And buttons just aren't about buttons, but buttons are like human history. It's pretty cool. But when I was living in London, I met this guy named Mark Pawson he's an artist who was making buttons for kind of their DIY artist punk community. Uh-huh. I met him actually at a show where Jamie Reed, who did a lot of the design for like the Sex Pistols and stuff, like the safety pin, he's responsible for that, and Cynthia Plastercaster were both speaking at this event.
Oh, my. I know. So, I've heard about her,
So I went to that event, and I met Mark Pawson, and he was telling me about making, they call them badges over there, but he was telling me how he makes them. And I'm like, no one's been making those like little punk buttons in the States. I would love to be like the person who brings that back, the 1-inch buttons.
Let me see if this is familiar.
Yep.
There they are. The Budget Girls. The Budget Girls on a tight budget.
Yeah.
Is that called Two Cheek Sneak? What?
Yeah. You luckily cut it out in a part that was really embarrassing. So thank you for stopping when you did.
Oh, well, that's what we need is WGN to go all punk rock. You know, that'll be a startling new format. Now, let's get back to these buttons.
Okay. Between the buttons?
Yeah, between the buttons. So you have put out a book, and it's a really cool book. The title of the book is what?
It's Button Power, 125 years of saying it with buttons.
Right. And it's got great illustrations. It's like a coffee table book. Of course, there's some things to read, but what's really interesting is to take a look at these buttons. I mean, and I'm not talking about the buttons that the Busy Beaver Button Company made. I'm talking about buttons out of history. How long ago do you reckon, as they say in England, how far back do we go to the first button of this type?
Yeah, so the pinback button, as we know it today, was invented in 1896, but it's arguable. Ted Hake, the co-author of this book, and I could argue that wearable insignia have been around since ancient Egypt days. But,
really?
But the pinback button, 1896, was the patent. So that is the McKinley-Bryant campaign, presidential campaign. And, you know, they have a political lineage, and that's before buttons were invented, and the reason why we call them buttons is in 1789, when George Washington was inaugurated, they had these clothing buttons, like clothing fastener buttons on his jacket with these hand-engraved eagles, and everybody was excited that they started a country, so they made souvenirs. So, and you could buy these little brass, like clothing buttons as souvenirs, and they had different messages on them. We have one at the Button Museum, which everybody's welcome to come visit. I mean, we're keeping it limited to less than six people at a time, but the Button Museum here in Logan Square, where Busy Beaver is. But we have that George Washington button, and then also we have an Abraham Lincoln button from 1864.
Wow.
So, you know, there wasn't much of a two-party system for a little while, like I guess the 1830s, so people weren't really supporting candidates, you know.
Right.
And then we get to like Pierce, and anyhow, we just keep going along. And so there were always wearable campaign support kind of items. But yeah, 1896, the button was invented. Wow. It was like a great moment where, you know, metal stamping, commercial printing, celluloid was being able to be made in sheets. So all these things were just like happening at the same time, and the button was created.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm agreeing. What do I know? But you know, yes, that's right. We're going to break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you about Dottie Dimple. Would that be okay?
Okay.
So stand by for who Dottie Dimple is. Coming up on 720 WGN. And there's another track by that punk rock band called the Budget Girls. They disbanded, and now one of them is into buttons.
Oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing.
You know what's so cool, though? Now, wait a minute. I love play on words, okay?
Yeah,
and the name of that song is Miso, but not me so, but Miso like the Japanese soup, MISO Miso, and then horny.
Yeah, that's the brainchild of my the other budget girl Terry. So yeah.
Oh God, I love punk rock. All right. Christian Carter is the owner of the Busy Beaver Button Company, busybeaver.net. They're in Logan Square, and they've got this unbelievably cool book out, which I can't emphasize enough, is one of the most interesting coffee table books you'll ever see, because it's, how many buttons do you think are in the book? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, they're about 1,500 in the book.
Yeah.
And Ted and I were deciding how many buttons we wanted to submit to the publisher. We ended up, we talked about tens of thousands of buttons. We gave them 4,500 buttons, and so it got edited down to 1,500. Wow. So it's still a lot.
And there's research into the history of these buttons. Okay, Dottie Dimple. What's the Dottie Dimple story?
Well, this is the kind of information that Ted loves, because he'll be, he's like, this is the first character to appear on a button. So kind of like, you know, when people were, you know, licensing things, or now people license things out. But Dottie Dimple was from the books that Rebecca Sophia Clark made. She was a writer, and she made, it looks like, 45 books between 1860 and 1903.
Mm.
So, yeah. So she earned her title. It says the Dickens Nursery. So, so yeah, she was just a child book writer, and they were able to use her you know, they were able to use her, the name, but they spelled it differently. So I don't know if she ever got any credit for this.
But they did make a button.
Dottie.
They did make a button that said Dottie Dimple.
Yeah, but they spelled Dottie differently.
Hmm. When are we gonna get the Budget Girls button?
There's one in there. It's in the music, arts, and entertainment section.
Oh, let's talk about the sections. How do you have this broken down?
Yeah. So we basically, most buttons fit into these sections that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, advertising, arts and entertainment, campaigns, causes, events, icebreakers, nature, organizations, people, places, sports, transportation, and war or anti-war.
Wow, so, sounds like a Trivial Pursuit game. Jeez.
It is.
That is really unbelievable. Is. And so how did you come to possess all of these buttons?
Yeah, so the buttons in the book are a combination of our collection at Busy Beaver at the Button Museum, Ted Hake's collection, the co-author, and he also has an auction house called Hake's Auctions. And so we were able to use some of the images from Hake's. And then we asked three other collectors if we could fill in some gaps with their collections. So.
I got to tell you right now, there's a ton of buttons on the page I'm looking at, but I am looking at, catch this, people, a Flash Gordon button, like the old Flash Gordon, mm-hmm. Me Worry button with Alfred E. Newman on it, the Lone Ranger Comic Examiner button, and... there's a Charlie Chaplin button, Modern Times, Lowe's Theater.
Yep.
And these are original.
These are all, the original.
Unbelievable.
And that's one of the things that's really cool about collecting buttons is that, you know, some of these buttons are valuable, but many of them aren't all that. It's really an accessible hobby. You know, if you're interested in design and, you know, messaging, and buttons give this kind of people's point of view of history and what was happening at the time. So I feel like I've learned so much more from collecting buttons than I had in school about history, at least, you know.
Oh my God. I got to tell you something. When I was a little boy, I can't believe this. When I was a little boy, I mean, like 7, 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
There was my favorite radio program. TV was not in our house quite yet. This is how ancient the story is. At any rate, my favorite radio show was something called Big John and Sparky. And I am looking at a Big John and Sparky button. Unbelievable! Mm-hmm. Unbelievable!
It's cool,
look
right?
At that. Cool. It's beyond cool. Can I buy it?
I'm sure there's one for sale somewhere,
but not from you.
Probably not for me. No, that's probably one of Ted's buttons, because I don't know if I have that one.
I gotta say, when I spotted that, I sort of freaked out.
We made this book for you, John.
I guess so. I gotta get it.
I'm glad you're finally getting around to it.
How do I get the book? Tell me, please. Well, how do I get the book?
Yeah. I mean, we sell them on Busy Beaver's website. I mean, they're available anywhere you get books. We actually made a coupon code for you and your listeners, which we give them 10% off if they want to order it from us. And the coupon code is Landecker.
No kidding. Wow. Look at this. There's a Zorro, Gabby Hayes, Davy Crockett. Let's see, who else? I mean, it's just endless.
It's amazing, the breadth.
Uncle Wiggily. You remember Uncle Wiggily? There's an Uncle Wiggily button.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
Yeah. It's amazing how much buttons cover, you know, like just how much culture and history.
There's two buttons. One says, I hate Elvis, and the other says, I like Elvis. So you've really got it all covered in there.
Yeah.
And there's I'm a purple people eater button. Holy cow. This is just, no wonder you got into this.
I'm glad you like it too.
This is the coolest. Come on.
Were you aware of Dr. Jive?
Dr. Jive.
He's on the bottom. He's right underneath I Hate and I Like Elvis.
No, Dr. Jive, Rhythm and Blues Becomes Rock and Roll. Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, he's just an interesting person. He was, you know how like Dick Clark and, you know, Alan Freed were kind of stuck in that Payola scandals. But poor Tommy Smalls was the one who got in trouble for it.
In trouble for, you mean for the Payola?
Payola, so like being paid to play records, you know?
Well, listen, I got to tell you, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but when I get off the air tonight, I'm buying this book, and I think everybody ought to get it because, listen to me, there is something in here literally for everybody. I mean, oh my God, there's a button here that says, Pray for Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the perfect holiday gift because it kind of covers everything.
I love it. And what a conversation piece.
Man. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, so it's Christian Carter, owner of the Busy Beaver Button Company. What's your address in Logan Square?
We're at 3407 West Armitage, so right at Kimball. And, you know, we do post a lot on social media, so Instagram, Facebook, people can follow us.
All right. And the busybeaver.net. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Christian, and all the best.
Thank you, John.
And all the buttons.